St. Paul liked to use sports analogies like running a race to give his readers an overall understanding of the Christian life. So I thought today I would use the makeup of a football team to give my homily today. It also might be a good way for me to keep your attention because, as many of you know, later today the Falcons will be playing for the NFC Championship and probably winning, no doubt. Sorry, cheeseheads. And I know some of you really couldn't give a hoot about it. There are some of us here, you know, a couple of us scattered here and there, really don't really care about that, about the game, that is. Especially some of you wives whose husbands already spend too much time watching football or not enough time, depending on what's going on in the house. But think of it this way. While he's watching the game today, and maybe the other one that's right after it, at 6 o'clock, he might also be thinking of this homily. So it could be a good thing. So let your husbands watch the game. Put the list aside. So what is it about a football team that could give us a little bit of insight into our readings today, particularly our gospel reading? For starters, football teams are built with an ultimate goal of winning the Super Bowl. And that begins with an owner who chooses a manager, who chooses a coach, who then chooses the players for the team. Now, I could probably make this homily very, very short and stop right now because you probably know where I'm going with this. In today's gospel, Jesus begins his public ministry of preaching the kingdom of God and choosing his first disciples. Yes, his first team, if you will. But because I have the next 7 or 8 minutes to fill, I think I'll just keep on going. Don't want that uncomfortable lag of time. One of the first things the owner, the manager, and the coach need to do is decide the kind of team they want to have. Will it be about offense? Will it be about defense? Will it be pass-oriented or run-oriented? Will they build for strength, or will they build for speed? And the second thing is, what they need to do is most important. It's the most important thing. And this is decide what will be the intangible makeup of that team. Its mindset, its character, the whole culture of the team that will help guide and sustain it towards its goal. Now, the Falcons use the word brotherhood to identify this. They see themselves as a family of sorts and hold to the intangibles that make up their family, their brotherhood, like being accountable to each other, respecting one another, being unselfish, and having a good work ethic. The other important thing is the players who are chosen have to buy into the system, which in sports mean that they have to agree to the intangibles and conduct themselves accordingly. If they don't, both they and the team suffer. In the gospel today, we see Jesus beginning to build his team. He and the owner, which is his father, of course, and the Holy Spirit, who I haven't quite figured out is the manager or the coach, so I'll let you think about that. Maybe give me some ideas. Either way, the three of them come together and have decided that their team will be one of those clever, offensive-oriented ones, the kind that even when they do have to play defense, they play with an offensive mindset. And they will clearly be a running team because that takes patience, endurance, and a rock-solid commitment to grinding it out for the long haul. As for that all-important, intangible makeup of the team, its mindset, the culture that will guide it towards its goal of heaven, it's more than a brotherhood. It is the kingdom of God. We hear in the gospel that Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," which is the same as "the kingdom of God is within you." Everyone whom Jesus chooses to be on his team has this kingdom within them. And so they must live according to its values, its priorities, its virtues, and vision. So, what does that look like? In one of St. Paul's other letters, he says, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but a matter of righteousness, peace, and the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit." We eat and drink for basically one purpose: to feed ourselves, to nourish our own bodies. So in a way, we can say it's a self-centered, kind of shallow activity that we do mostly to benefit ourselves. For anyone to live their lives this way, in a self-centered, shallow way, there will be all kinds of problems. In our second reading, we hear the Corinthians experiencing some of these problems. There are rivalries and divisions, with some saying they belong to Paul, some to Apollos, others to Cephas, even some say they belong to Christ, yet see themselves in competition with everyone else. It'd be like me saying, "I prefer to serve with Father Sonny than Father Abel," which is not true. I really like this guy. I like Father Sonny too. Or, "I think the 11 o'clock group, mass group, is better than the 9 o'clock mass group," which of course I do believe that. Don't tell the 9 o'clock though. And what if we had some of our ministries thinking they were in competition with other ministries here in our own parish? There would be division and rivalries. In ministering to the Corinthians, Paul reminds them that they were all baptized, drafted by Jesus, to be on the same team. And so they should all be of the same mind and the same purpose. That's what makes a good team. That mind and that purpose within us and within all of creation is the triumphant reign of Jesus and his righteousness, his peace, and the joy that alone comes from the Holy Spirit. This is what the kingdom of God is all about, and this is what we have within us. Today, we live in a world, and at times right here in our own country, that, like the Corinthians, is fractured by its own rivalries and divisions, sometimes within our own communities and families. One huge cause of that division is what we painfully remember on this day 44 years ago when abortion was legalized in this country. Our enemy throws a lot of offense at us. This being one of the biggest, it creates the most division in our country. And it seems much of the time that our defense spends way too much time on the field simply struggling to make a stop. But every day is a God-guaranteed new day. And with it is the gift of his kingdom that he has given to us to heal the divisions and the wounds they have caused, and to bring all people together in our families, our communities, our nation, and the world together on the same team of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So for us who know and who have experienced this gift of the kingdom, of God's kingdom within us, let's not be deterred or discouraged, but continue to follow the Lord as he expands his kingdom more and more in us, so that others may see in us and want to be a part of his championship team.